Hello and welcome to the media outreach of Faith Alive Ministries. For over 30 years, Faith Alive Ministries has continued to answer the call to teach God's people how to live in this world. This charismatic teaching ministry has current bases of operation in both Oklahoma and Arizona. We are honored to share the gospel in the Northeastern Oklahoma prison system, as well as in church gatherings and evangelistic outreaches around the country. We believe the message you're about to hear will inspire and encourage you and empower you to live the abundant life God has for you. Join with us now as we receive from the Word of God.
Let's pray. Get into the Word. I have an assignment on me this morning and I need to get it done. Father in heaven, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word which we live by, your word which generates life within us. And Lord, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise this morning for teaching us your way. I have and do submit myself unto you, Father, that I speak your words, that I teach your ways. I will be obedient. I have and do submit myself unto you, Father, that I speak your words, that I teach your ways. I will be obedient to hear and to speak. And Father, I ask and I believe that each one here has been given ears to hear. They've been given a heart that understands, for you are in the process of writing your commandments upon our heart that we may obey them. And we will be your children, and you are our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, I think you probably know where to turn. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter. Maybe I'm supposed to preach out of 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I didn't dream when I started this that I'd be this long on it, but the more I get into it, the more I see that God's got something for us here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we have been talking about being into it, the more I see that God's got something for us here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And we have been talking about being in having liberty. And just to say this so you understand why I think God's putting the emphasis on it, the world is trying to clamp down on Christian liberty. There was cases this last week. There are incidences where the mayor of a large metropolitan, well, the mayor of Houston, just forget about trying to be politically correct. The mayor of Houston has subpoenaed the pastors of the city to submit their sermons to her and to her council to review them because she is a homosexual. And some of the pastors had spoken out against her and at least two of the council members that are openly homosexual. And so they subpoenaed them. Now the pastor said, no, wait a minute, freedom of religion says I can preach what I want to preach. And so the courts tried to change it and said, well, you don't have to turn in your sermons, just your speeches. You all should be rolling on the floor laughing how stupid that is. What is a sermon but a religious speech? However, if the man is of God, it is God's speech, and you can't subpoena God. You say you're his. Yeah, I thought if they subpoena me, say, hey, I want all your notes, all your sermons. I say, here. Well, no, I want your notes. I don't use notes. The only thing I use up here, if you look at this, it's all sermon. It's all scripture. I don't write out a speech. I write out scriptures. And that's only so that I don't preach to you from now until dusk. That's so I can get you out of here by a little after 12 o'clock. Otherwise, I'd be going all day long. One of these days, I just feel I want to turn loose. I'm going to go Caribbean or someplace and just turn loose. Brother Copeland went to the Caribbean. He asked him, how long do you want me to keep him? He said, oh, why don't you let him off between 1 and 2 for lunch? I mean, this was morning. He was starting. Why don't you let him off for 1, 2 lunch? You can come back. And then Brother Copeland looked, well, you don't have to let him off if you don't want to. He literally preached, I think he preached 10 hours that day. And then he raised a girl from the dead. What do you think? He went to another place in Africa and he started preaching. It wasn't him. It was Jerry Savelle was preaching. He preached about 3 hours and quit. And all the people were just, they were standing up. They didn't have chairs to sit in. They were all standing and they just stood there. He finally looks at him and says, something wrong? Did I say something wrong? They said, why you quit? Says, we prayed for someone to come teach us. And you came. And you only spoke 3 hours. Well, you know, a man like Jerry, that's all. Hey, let's go. So here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And we've over and over and over again, and so I'm not going to spend a long time, we've talked about it, that the way that we're being transformed then is because the trying of our faith worketh patience, that we glory in tribulation also. I haven't used those verses as much, but we'll get those. James 1 talks about, be counted all joy when you fall into all these troubles when they come. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now, why did he tell us to be of good cheer knowing we're going to have tribulation? Well, he left it to James and Paul to explain that. James talks about James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The fact that the tribulation comes and you have the opportunity to overcome is what helped perfect us. You can't learn without a test. How many of you found out that the most significant part of your schooling was the test? You hated it. You didn't want it to come. But it's what forced you to hit the books and learn something. Well, folks, somehow we are wired that way in our Christian life. We do the same thing. If we don't have a test coming, then we don't ever pay attention to it. Well, that doesn't concern me. You know, I'm not worried about that. Why? Hey, I'm not worried about what the candidates think. Why? Because I don't vote. Sinner. Go register and vote. I don't have a whole lot longer to say that. If you don't register soon, you won't be eligible to vote. And I really don't care what the government thinks about that. Do you know it was never illegal for a pastor to endorse a candidate from the pulpit? That's an IRS rule, because we got so tied up that we didn't want to lose our tax exemption, the pastor shut up, because that way we could get more money. Well, I'm tired of that. God's got the silver. God's got the gold. God's got all the riches of the world, and I can trust him. Amen. And if the IRS doesn't like it, they can go sit on a tack. But the idea is that we are not being free, but we're going to have to go through these things to be free. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 then tells us that, verses 17 and 18, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, that glory is supposed to be showing in the church. The eternal weight of glory. Why we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And looking at that, we begin to see how the glory begins to show in the church. And we've come down through the list of things that the Lord began to give me. Matter of fact, he added another one just the other day, but we won't get into that yet. But begin to give me that are eternal, and we've come down to the fourth of those, which is the kingdom of God. We've been talking about that for a couple of sessions now, and talked to you before stream, during streams, and then last week, you just really didn't want to hear me. I better explain that for whoever gets the CD. It wasn't because you didn't want to hear what I was saying. You just didn't want to hear. I mean, I could have done a perfect imitation of George Jones and Conway Twitty. I mean, I'm not talking about country. I'm talking about classic country. I mean, I wouldn't have had to try to pinch my nose to do it because my nose wasn't passing any air. But now I'm free. My nose is open. Matter of fact, it feels like a rushing mighty wind. Maybe the Holy Ghost got involved and is filling me with a new power. Wow. Let's go. All right. So we're talking about the kingdom. We've established the kingdom is eternal. And we've established that the kingdom is in Jesus Christ. You can't have a king without a king. You can't have a kingdom without a king. You cannot have a kingdom without a king. Scripture says about Jesus, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. We don't realize what that was, but that there was a symbol that the rulers would wear, especially when they got ready to set court. They would put on their robes or their clothing, and there would be like a shield, a badge. And it wasn't just a little badge. This is probably where we got some of it for our authorities, our policemen, and so on. But it wasn't just a little badge. It was a big badge. And that thing represented the government. That meant as long as I'm wearing this thing, I am the government. And it says upon Jesus, that class that grasped, that was up here, that held everything together, that was the government. And the government is on his, Jesus Christ, shoulders. And so that's the kingdom. And we've looked at several things with that. And I've told you to learn, to read, to study Psalm 145, talking about the kingdom and how God, how the kingdom and dominion will endure through all generations. Isaiah 9:7, you should have these all in your past notes. The increase of his government and peace shall be no end. And we'll talk about that more in either later this morning or next week. I really believe I'm going to be able to finish the kingdom up within a couple of weeks, as today and maybe next week. But it's always going to be growing because we establish where we are. We're in between two points, that the kingdom of God is within you and the kingdoms. And the second point, that's the beginning, the kingdom of God shall be set up and shall overtake and consume all other kingdoms, Daniel 2:44. And the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, Revelation 11. We're between those two. We're getting somewhere. Now, I want to go this morning real quickly. Something God showed me with this. That why the kingdom had to come when Jesus came. Go to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6. I could say the Sermon on the Mount, because it covers 5, 6, and 7. Start that in 5, 6. Tell some of the kingdom stuff. And what was he preaching in Matthew? What was he preaching in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount? It says when Jesus began to preach, Scripture says, And from that moment, he came back from the Mount of Temptation in Matthew chapter 4. And from that moment, he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now, I want to show you something that this one's in Matthew 6, verse 9. This is what we call the Lord's Prayer. We've prayed this. We've looked at it. We've used it as an example of how the world is supposed to be. But I want you to understand that in this, you are also praying for yourself. If you understand the scripture of God, if you understand the word of God, which is given to you to live by, you will find there's always another level, always a deeper level that you need to go to. No matter how much you have mined, how much you have explored, how much you have thought about a scripture, there's always something deeper. I still haven't found it in the begats. I still haven't found it, but I know there's something there. Every time I read those, I say, Lord, I don't see this, but I know there's something there, so I'm going to read it again. But in this Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're just going to stop there. We've looked at that so many times, looking and saying, okay, we know that what is his will for the earth is what's already happening in heaven, right? But do you realize there's something else there? Did not the law tell the people God's will? Keep this law and these things will happen. Do this word and these things will happen. But we looked a while back, it wasn't part of this series, but we looked a while back when we looked into 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and did the whole chapter there. We did several weeks over the 2 Corinthians 3, and we talked about for that which was engraven in stones. We know that's the law, the Ten Commandments primarily, right? And Paul says it was glorious, but it was death. Yeah. Why was it death? Because they couldn't keep it. It was death because what it did was expose their sin, but it did not give them the power to overcome their sin. It told them what was wrong, but didn't give them the strength to not do the wrong. That's because they had begun to lift up in pride and said, we will do it. You know? And whenever you begin to think that you can do what God's going to do, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You are already on your way to the ground. You know, they say, pride goeth before a fall. When you hit that point of pride, you're not going before the fall. You're already falling. You may not have hit the bottom yet, but you're on your way down. You've got to understand that God is our all in all, that Jesus Christ gave us all, that we can do nothing without him. However, we are never, ever, ever going to be without him again.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
We are with him. Yeah. And with God, nothing is impossible. But now listen here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that say to you about you? It says that when the kingdom is within you, and when you receive the kingdom of God that he came to give, that you have the power and the authority now to do the will of God. You no longer are trampled down by the law because I can't keep the law. You now have within you, the kingdom within you is the power to keep the will of God. Whew. Get happy now. Because when you are born again, you are translated from the kingdom of darkness of this world into the kingdom of God's Son, into the kingdom of light. You are already moved. Your citizenship's moved. We're going to talk about that more. But see it here in this prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's saying, you have the power to pray to do my will. The law no longer has to keep you down. The law is no longer death unto you because the kingdom is within you. Whoa!
Amen.
Can you tell? This is exciting me, man. These are things that, man, I have studied this for 35 years, and I'm just now seeing some of these things. We can change our world. The kingdom is within you, and it will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
It is by that kingdom that is within you that everything that you ever do can be done according to the will of God. It is by that kingdom, by being part of that kingdom, and by seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that everything you ever wanted will be granted. Because it is the kingdom. The kingdom is what then? The kingdom is power, for one thing. The kingdom is power. Paul says that. What is the kingdom? What are we seeking? We're seeking first the kingdom of God, but what is it we're seeking? In 1 Corinthians 4:20, note that, go back and read that chapter. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but it is in power. We find out that it is the strength to do what we need to do. If the kingdom is within you, that carries the strength to do what you need to do. The kingdom is in authority, the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. And he is given a kingdom. That means you have the authority to use the power. Now, I'm going to back up and get where I was really going to begin with. Okay? We were talking about when we ended last time that we had been given a command to seek first the kingdom of God. You're there in Matthew. Just go on down to verse 33. You know this, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Notice it says seek first. Put it first place. Put it the thing that you seek. Jesus went so far, and I'm not going to go to all the scriptures just because of time's sake. We can talk about it later if you need to, or you can look them up on your own. But Jesus talked about he was the king. He told them to come follow me. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, right? And then he said, come follow me. And one young man said, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you. I really do. But my father is elderly. He may be dying. Let me bury my father and then I'll come. What was Jesus' reply?
Let the dead bury the dead.
Let the dead bury the dead and you come follow me. Do you realize what that's saying? Translated into the awesome culture. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you put that before anything. What about that Saturday night wake that keeps you up till you can't go to church Sunday morning? Now, you guys are going to get mad at some of these things. Just go ahead and get your mad on and get over it. Because we're going to learn these things. The kingdom has to be first. The kingdom is before anything else. The kingdom is before your family. The kingdom is before your ministry. The kingdom is before anything. It is seek the kingdom first, and all these other things shall be added unto you. You want your marriage fixed and your husband is giving you a hard time. Don't go to church. Don't go to church. Honey, if you want me, you're going to have to seek the kingdom because I'm going to church. Family shows up on Sunday morning. Well, you got your choice. You can sit here by yourself or you can come to church with me. Seek first the kingdom. Mama gets sick and goes to the hospital. Lord, church, you said seek the kingdom. I want to know what to do, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. My emotions tell me run to mama's bedside. But if you don't say that, I'm going to church. Now, I know that's tough on the culture like we've got it. But that's what the scripture says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If it is of God and you learn to hear the voice of God and you go to church, God will keep mama alive till you get out of church and you get there. Family says, well, we need a family planning meeting. We can only do it Sunday morning. Well, plan it without me then. I'm going to church. I mean, yeah, I know there's going to be exceptions. And I'm not trying to be legalistic on this thing. But I want you to begin to get the concept that seeking first the kingdom has to be seeking first the kingdom. That it can't be adding to it. Now, I told Muriel on the way in, and I'll say it to you all now, there's some people that are going to get upset. They're thinking that maybe because of what happened this morning, the people you look around you don't see this morning, that I'm upset about that. No, I knew what I was going to say at least by yesterday. I didn't know that certain people weren't going to be here this morning. But I thought, isn't that just like the devil? The devil doesn't want them to hear it. Because all of a sudden, they'll turn around and they'll wind up here when their family showed up at their house or when they came in late from something. And like I said, I'm not trying to scold anybody. I'm not trying to get on anybody's case. But if the shoe fits, as Brother Hagin said, wear it. If it's a problem, correct it. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And begin to prioritize your life, everything, by what does the kingdom require? What does my citizenship in the kingdom of God require? Notice here, and we're going to talk about how do you get in the kingdom in a minute. I questioned God. I thought, am I getting these things backwards? And I really feel like this is the direction I'm supposed to go. But once you're in the kingdom, Luke 12 tells us that God, it's God's good pleasure. It's the Father's good pleasure. Okay. I had that note and I lost it. Luke 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12, 32. Fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He doesn't just make you a citizen of the kingdom. He is giving you the kingdom. And our job in the kingdom is to seek the kingdom. We're not going to just be able to come plop our backsides in the pew and expect the kingdom to be dropped upon us. We're going to have to do some seeking. We have promises that seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But we are going to have to seek. It's not just going to, it is here, but it's not just going to automatically come on us. We're going to have to start making our decisions based upon seeking the kingdom. How do we seek the kingdom? How are we operating if we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven? See, when you ask, what am I supposed to do? You begin to do that. You wake up in the Sunday morning and you don't feel like going to church and you think about turning over and hitting the snooze button two or three times, or maybe even just turn the alarm off and go completely back to sleep. What do you do? What does the kingdom say? Well, first of all, the kingdom says that you are going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. That's one of the kingdom principles. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 4, in the temptation. That's what Moses said in Deuteronomy. So, okay, is my church preaching the word? And if you say yes, then I don't have the option of feeling like I don't want to go. All right, body, get yourself out of bed and get on your way to church. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, if the Holy Ghost didn't move me, I move the Holy Ghost. He began to get a hold of some of these principles. And so what would he do? He'd get up. He wouldn't be feeling very spiritual. So he'd start praying in tongues. And he'd pray in tongues till he got the unction of the Holy Ghost. And then he'd go raise the dead, heal the sick, and cast out demons. How long do you pray, Brother Wigglesworth? Oh, I seldom pray more than 10 minutes. Well, how do you do all this? Well, I seldom go more than 10 minutes without praying.
He is singing.
Right. Singing, making melody in your heart. Is any among you spiritual? Let him sing! Praise God. But you see, that is a reprioritizing of our life. It's not the church. If you get up and you think, I don't feel like going to church, and you begin to think, well, the kingdom says that every word, I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. Is my church preaching the word? One of you see what's going on? Is my church preaching the word? If my church is not preaching the word, what are you doing there? Go find one that is. Ask God and he'll direct you. I used to say, go to the church of your choice. No, go to the church of God's choice. Find out where he wants you and get there. And then don't miss for any reason unless he tells you. If he tells you you need to go visit someone on a Sunday morning or Tuesday evening, or you need to do something else, that's fine. If he says, I just need you to go Sunday morning and you don't worry about Friday or Tuesday, that's fine too. Whatever he says, but you do it according to him, not according to what you feel or what you think. Now, I know I'm going to make sure that the people that weren't here this morning gets this CD, and some of them are going to think I'm scolding them, but I'm not, because God put this in me. If we don't believe that this work is of God, then why are we doing it? When you get ready to have an outreach, when somebody comes in and gets ready to have an outreach in the community, why are they having it? Are they seeking the kingdom? Is it kingdom business? Not their kingdom, God's kingdom. Or are they just doing something religious? In John, there's a story about a man. It talks about Jesus, and Jesus was with a crowd of people going on his way into Jerusalem for the feast. But all of a sudden, in the middle of that crowd, all these people were going to do the religious ritual, the thing that their religion required. But all of a sudden, here they're walking along, Jesus and his disciples are with the crowd, they're all heading for Jerusalem, and I don't know whether it was a right turn or a left turn, but all of a sudden Jesus decides, I'm not going that way. And he goes over here, and he winds up over at the pool of Bethesda. Bethesda. At the pool of Bethesda. And he comes upon this pool, and there's all these sick, lame, and hurting folk laying around there. And he looks at one man that he realizes, he knows by the word of knowledge, that man's been there for 40 years or thereabouts. And he looks at that man and says, will you be healed? The man says, but sir, I don't have anybody to put me in the water when the angels stir the water. Jesus says, that's not what I said. Rise, take up your bed and walk. All of the others were going to do their religious duty. Jesus went to do kingdom business. And that man was healed. See, now, if God tells you to do something like that on a Sunday morning, hey, I'm not going to get in the way of that. But if I know you're sleeping in your bed, I'm going to be praying for you that the angels make that bed like the lumpy mattress. I don't know what, but, you know, all these kinds of things. I'm just trying to get you to focus. Seek first. What is God's kingdom business? What is God's kingdom business? Anything that potentially will keep you from what God wants you to do, then you need to avoid that, or you need to rearrange it. If it's building somebody else's business, or if it's just a thing to do that's a ritual, you don't have time for that. That's not where you're needing to go. That's not what you're needing to do. You're needing to be seeking first the kingdom of God. See, we're in the month of October. We've got several things coming up that are part of this Southern Arizona culture. Watch out. They'll lead you astray. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you know, hey, don't make the trip. How plainly can I say it? Don't go. I guess there's a little bit of a carnival atmosphere. If you want to go down there for the carnival and eat all the vendor food, that could get, but be back here for Sunday morning. Okay? The ghost food. The Bible says, to be very plain to you, the Bible says, eat nothing that was sacrificed for the dead. If they try to serve you ghost food, I'm sorry, but I can't. Goodbye. man, you understand that a lot of them do that out of ignorance. They don't know the truth. But folks, now you know the truth. This group in here knows the truth. And you're going to be held by it. Eat nothing that was sacrificed for the dead. And, you know, sometimes they'll even at the wakes, you'll see them set the plate by the coffin or under the coffin. Well, why is that? Are they just trying? Do they think he needs a meal to go home? Yeah. Just a...
If he reaches out and eats it,
well, then you better get there and get him saved before he dies again. Okay, you understand? You're hearing me now? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All right? Now, let's back up and get, or now I'm going to go ahead and go forwards. One of the things, I've got lots of notes here I could preach. How do we seek the kingdom of God? Seek first. Basically, you give it your all. You know that it does not come with observation. Luke 17:20. The kingdom of God cometh not by what you see. So you're not seeking the things. Watch out. This is a pitfall in seeking first the kingdom of God. That because Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Too many people look and see and try to judge. Are the things coming? You're not supposed to be looking at the things because they are things seen. What did he talk about when he was talking about those things? He's talking about gathering into barns. He was talking about storing up. He was talking about having good clothes and all that. Well, folks, those will come. If they don't come, there's something wrong with the way you're seeking the kingdom. But if you judge whether you're seeking the kingdom by those things, you're looking in the wrong direction. Because we're looking not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So, I mean, it almost sounds like the Bible's saying two different things, but it's really trying to give us a whole picture. Why does it seem like it's almost opposing itself? Because right here between those two is a very, very narrow way. God gave me a vision once upon a time, a dream vision. I'm not sure exactly what. And I was meditating on Jesus saying, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And I saw us going through the gate. And the gate was adequate. It wasn't great big. It wasn't one of these huge doors that you go into like on a sports coliseum, you know, where 30 people or so going through it at once. It was narrow, but as you went in there, then you began to look off and you saw this road, and it looked like it kept getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And as you walked along that road, in fact, it did. In fact, it got so thin. And I'm not trying to ruin the song Jericho Road for anybody, but just hang on, okay? I began to see a point in the road where there wasn't even room for just two. I thought, Lord, are you wanting us to walk this road alone? He says, no. I'm trying to get you to understand that the only way to walk this road is with me and you and me. That way there's not two of us, there's one of us. That's how narrow it is. There is no room. And we walked along there and we walked out. I saw us walking up to the falls. I think they were Niagara Falls. And I saw stretched out across Niagara Falls a rope about an inch around, steel rope, all the way over the fall. And Jesus and I just stepped out on the rope and we just were strolling along in one. And I thought, you know, with him in me and me in him, this is one of the easiest things I've ever done. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. The only way is for you in the kingdom and the kingdom in you, which is Christ in you, your hope of glory. That's the only way. See, when Jesus is standing beside you, you can stray. He won't stray. But you can stray. You can fall in the ditch on the left and you can climb out of the left and stumble into the right. And you go flip-flop, flip-flop. And if you were in politics, they would really be on your case as a flip-flopper. But with Jesus in you, your step is steady. Your way is directed. And with you in Jesus and in the kingdom and seeking first the kingdom, knowing that each step takes me deeper into the kingdom. See, you're not going to the kingdom. You're in the kingdom. What keys did Jesus give you? What keys did the Father give you? He didn't give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He gave you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys to opens the front door. The keys of open every place, every door, every storehouse, every conference room, everything in the kingdom. That is where you're going, and that's what you have to seek. What does God say? What is my kingdom? And anything that's that doesn't deal right with the kingdom, you're going to have to let it go. You're going to have to stop it and seek first the kingdom. What are God's ways? Well, all of those are outlined in this book. Everything, all wisdom is outlined in this book. All spiritual gifts are given unto you. You have the mind of Christ. And you can walk this way. And when you walk this way and you begin to seek the kingdom in this manner that I'm describing this morning, you will walk the way that you will keep on the straight and narrow. You won't flip-flop. You won't have a lot of backsliding. You won't fall away. Your zeal won't grow dim. Now, knowing as the way we people are, I'm going to tell you that becomes almost a task that, you know, it is a task that is impossible for you. And so you have to be very aware that the kingdom of God is within you, meaning that Jesus is in you and it is his strength, his power in you. Read again John chapter 17 and the prayer that Jesus prayed, that they be in us and I in them, then thou in them, that we may be one. The kingdom of God in its fullness is to be one with God. And God is one with you. Your experience has probably been the idea that I'm hot for a while and then I cool off. And then I'm hot for a while and then I cool off. Well, God says I'd rather you be hot or cold than go back and forth. Because see, every time between the hot and the cold, there's a lukewarm. Right? So he wants you to be hot. Because he is the kingdom. Now, how do you seek the kingdom? How do you get into the kingdom first? We've talked about seeking it. I could talk about it a whole lot more. But first of all, the first step to become a citizen of the kingdom is to be born again. You don't put yourself in the kingdom. You put Jesus in your heart. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Romans 10 tells us that we are born again. We're saved because when we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and we confess him as Lord, we are saved. We become children of the King. Write this one down, Colossians 1:13. And when that happens, God, Colossians 1, verse 13. Let's go to the book of Colossians now. I want you to see this in your own Bible. Colossians chapter 1. Right after Philippians. Philippians people all know. They like it. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Let's read, I'm not even going to be able to start back at the beginning of the sentence. Because the sentence starts in verse 9. Colossians 1:9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Then we're going to skip down to verse 13. Or verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You did not make yourself part of the kingdom. God made you part of the kingdom when you received Jesus Christ. If you didn't know that you were a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, then you better question and ask, am I born again? Because if you're not born again, you're not part of the kingdom. If you're born again, you are part of the kingdom of God. Now, with that established, knowing that that's the only way into the kingdom, then what does it mean to seek first the kingdom? See, you've got to begin to understand, if I'm a citizen of the kingdom, what are my responsibilities of citizenship? What am I supposed to be doing as part of the kingdom? Who am I as a citizen of the kingdom of God? I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. What is my responsibility? That's why we have to keep seeking first the kingdom. Because sometimes we don't know what our responsibility is. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that mean? See, we've taken that and we've, out of context, we've taken it mean, oh, that means to be right. How come it didn't say just seek his righteousness then? Why did it say seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Because as a citizen, you have a responsibility. You are citizens of the awesome nation. I think all of you are, except for Debbie and myself. You're all citizens of the awesome nation. What does that citizenship entail? And I'm not talking about just what benefits does it have. What are your responsibilities as awesome? What does it mean to be awesome in this part of the, in this geographical location? You know why the government of the awesome has been corrupt and passed? Because the good people wouldn't be part of it. They looked at it. They judged the government. They didn't want to be on the councils. They didn't want to be representative. They didn't want to do anything for the nation because, oh, those people are just in it to get rich. They're just in it to get benefits. See, a citizen, a true citizen, is in it for the benefit of that group of which he is a citizen. If you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, you are to be a benefit to the kingdom. If any of you know anybody who is a citizen of the United States of America, but was not born a citizen, became a citizen after having come in from some other nation, talk to them and ask them, what were you required to do and what were you required to know to be a citizen of this nation? They all took oaths to protect the nation, to not to tear it down, but to build it up. As a citizen of the kingdom of God, then you are to be building the kingdom. You can't just benefit from the kingdom. You are to be building the kingdom, to making it grow. Does that mean evangelism? Well, it includes evangelism, but also includes and his righteousness, that his will is being worked out on the earth as it is in heaven. How is God going to get his will on the earth? He's getting it through you, the citizens of the kingdom. The citizens of the kingdom will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. The citizens of the kingdom, because they are part of the kingdom, because they're part of a commonwealth of the kingdom. Do a study in the book of Ephesians on what that says. And you who were once sinners and aliens from the commonwealth. What it means. It means that when you become part of the citizen, when you become a citizen of the kingdom, you begin to share in everything the kingdom has. You share in every responsibility the kingdom has. You also share in every benefit the kingdom has. When you talk to someone who, especially some of the older people who understand more of it from the British Isles, from the British kingdom, the Commonwealth. They understood that it wasn't us and them. It wasn't this and that because I'm a citizen, that this nation belongs to me. I not only am I a citizen of this nation, I have ownership in this nation. Well, as even more so, as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you not only are a citizen, but you have ownership in the kingdom. God has given you the keys of the kingdom. Now quit sitting back like a common pauper, a poor man, cursed, and begin to live like kingdom citizens. And you do that by grace. Hebrews 12:28. You don't do all this on your own. You are doing this by the grace of God. Hebrews 12, again. If you read the whole chapter of Hebrews 12, you're going to understand that it talks about, again, some of the ritual versus the kingdom ideas, or the rituals versus the ritual practices versus the heart. It's talking about in Hebrews 12, us running and finishing the race that was set before us. In verse 12:20, it talks about that they couldn't endure. They heard all the laws, the sounds of the trumpet, that so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with an arrow. And it talks about not being able to keep all the laws. And then in verse 27, it says, Hebrews 12:27, now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things which are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Those things which are shaken are the laws and the rules and the practices and the rituals that we do. Many of you will talk about somebody who is not serving the Lord right at the moment, and they will talk about, they need to get back in church. Well, maybe they do need to get back in church, but why? Why do they need to be in church? See, here we got to check and find out, how are we thinking about this? Do they need to be in church because that proves they're walking with God? That's the way most people take that. But you know, they can be in church. Just because they sat in church doesn't make them a Christian. No more than being parked in a garage makes them a car. I know some of you, that's getting kind of old, that's kind of cliche, but the idea there. Why do they need to be in church? Because if that church is preaching the word, it'll give them something to live by. See, one of the reasons I came on so strong this morning is because every time you miss church, you're starving your spirit. If I drew pictures of you, of your spirit man, maybe not you, maybe you're getting fat and happy in the spirit. But if I drew pictures of many people that were sitting in church this morning, it would be the slumped over, drooped down, poor, depressed stick. I mean, I'd have to use the finest tip pen that I could find to draw the body, because they've got no meat on their bones spiritually. And if we are eating the Word of God and thereby we are living, that is our meat. Our meat is to hear the Word and do the Word. Jesus said, I have food. I have meat to eat that you know not of. And they said, where did he get meat? I mean, he's out here. We went into town. He was out here by the well. There was nobody. Did somebody bring him something? And he said, my meat is to do the will of my Father which sent me. Well, how did he know to do the will? He heard the Word. How did he hear the Word? He was seeking first the kingdom. Do you understand? See, every time you miss a church service, how do you know that wasn't what God sent to you to put you over? How do you know it wasn't the one that you needed to overcome this problem that's in your life right now? You think you can do a better job than God by staying home and worrying about it? Do you think you can do a better job than God by sitting at the side of the hospital bed than being where you can be fed the Word of God and grow to the point that that Word says, I am more than a conqueror in Christ. I am a citizen of the kingdom, and no man, no demon, no circumstance can stand in my way, because I'm walking in Jesus Christ. You understand? Now, like I said, it's not scolding. It is a correction to get you strong. Yeah. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Yeah. But I can't, Pastor. Oh, yes, you can. You can. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, did I read verse 28 yet? No, I didn't, did I? Let's finish that. He's removing those things that are shaken. That those which cannot be shaken are removed. We do a lot of things. Why are you telling people to be in church? Because they can hear the Word. And then in verse 28, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let us have grace whereby we serve God. See, grace is your strength. Grace isn't just God's unmerited favor. Grace is his willingness to be involved with you, his willingness to be involved on your behalf. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. See, we serve God. We serve the kingdom, not by our strength, but by grace. Our part is to seek first the kingdom of God. He'll make the way. Sometimes it'll look hard. Do you think it looked easy for Peter to tell the Pharisees and the Sadducees to sell the whole Sanhedrin? Brethren, we got to obey God rather than men. Those were the rulers. That was like walking up before the president, the Senate, the Congress, and saying, hey, you're wrong. What would that get you today? Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And what do? They go back to their home church and they say, hey, this is what we went through. Oh, let us serve God more boldly and speak the Word louder, stronger, and proclaim it abroad. And what happened? The Holy Ghost came in and the whole room was shaken. Again. Woo. What am I saying? Put that kingdom first. Know how to seek it. Know what it means to seek it. Know how you're serving God. There's a whole chapter in Matthew on seeking the kingdom. There's parables in Matthew 13. That's how much you do. You give everything. Everything comes to the kingdom. Jesus said that no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. What's that mean? He goes, he puts his hand, he says, I'm going to seek first the kingdom. But then he's thinking about his family at home, and he's thinking about his bank accounts, and he's thinking about his health and so on. You know, he says, if you keep looking back at that, you're not fit for the kingdom. He said, no man has left houses or lands or brethren or any of this stuff for the gospel's sake, but what they shall receive now in this time 100-fold. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And again, I want to be very clear about this. I did not preach this morning just to stir everybody up to be faithful, to be here at the church services. I do believe you should be here. If I didn't believe that you should be here, I wouldn't be here. You know, I'm being honest with you. If I didn't believe there was something that God sent us here to get done, then I wouldn't be here. But I believe that this group that came this morning and the group that we're going to influence are people that are going to change the awesome. We're not getting rid of the culture. Not trying to do any of that thing. I'm not trying to make you white man or black man or Mexican or anything else. Your birth did that. I'm trying to make you kingdom citizens to serve God. To serve God in a way that turns everything else upside down. That's the way the kingdom is going to take over this world. See, remember we talked about when we started talking about the kingdom, and I'm wrapping this whole thing up. I don't think I'll go another week. I think this is end. But when we started talking about it, Daniel had the vision that God would give to the Messiah. Saw the mountain grow. We knew that's Jesus. And he would give a kingdom. And that kingdom, that boulder that became a mountain, would then overpower every kingdom. All these world kingdoms, the things that we're seeing today, will all come under the word of God. We'll have a 1,000-year millennial reign with Jesus sitting on a throne on this planet, somewhere after 7 years of some other Christ that is anti sitting on a throne. You know, 7 years versus 1,000 years, you do the math. Who's stronger?
Brother Lord, I gotta say something.
Go ahead.
I read it. And now you're saying that it's just, oh God.
It's coming into focus. Yeah. Keep with it and you'll keep coming into focus.
Thank you.
Keep with it and it'll come into focus. Yeah. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, begin to do this. This is the most practical part. We are going, we're heading for that point that at some point, the kingdom of God that is now within our heart. Oh, I know what I didn't. Thank you, sir. I just reminded of a piece I just left out. I've got to do. You've got to keep judging. What is the kingdom? These things. Excuse me for going backwards, but you've got to keep looking at that. How do you know? How do you know if I'm, especially when I'm choosing between two? What is seeking first the kingdom and what is my own? The Apostle Paul writes, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. Let's see. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God's way will always yield righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have peace about it, if it doesn't bring joy in your heart, and if it's not right, it's not kingdom. I don't care how practical it seems. I, as a preacher of the gospel, were told that God told a group of people, I was a pastor, God told a group of people not to pay me. We're not going to pay you your salary anymore, God said. And I looked at him and I said, the word of God says, don't withhold the meat. Don't withhold the pay, the honor to those who labor among you in word and doctrine. I said, you're telling me God told you to do opposite what his word says? I said, that's not right. See, they weren't thinking kingdom. They were thinking earth. They were thinking flesh. Why? Because their money was tight in the church. I understood that. There's times that I took the whole thing that I got paid and put it right back in the church. I did that without them telling me. But they said, we can't pay you anymore. God said, don't pay you. I said, am I preaching the word? Oh, yeah, you're preaching the word. We want you to stay on. We'll still provide the place for you to live and pay the utilities, but we can't give you any salary. I said, that's not righteousness. See, that's the way you understand. Did it bring peace? Is it something that's hard to do? Or do you know that you've got God in you helping it? And ultimately, will it lead to joy? Will you have that overcoming? Ha! Got it. You know, that's kingdom. That's how you understand. Now, I've corrected that error. Father, is there anything else?
Thank you, Jesus.
No. Thank you. Speak first. Okay. You are starting. This is it. James chapter 2, verse 5. Many of us have started here. You need to move on. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? You are moving into the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. You've got to learn righteousness because you will be part of that judgment. That's 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. You're not going to be, see, part of that time, don't get on the wrong side of the bench. You know what I mean about that? How many of you have been in court? Ever been in court? Okay. One side of the bench is for the judge, right? One side of the bench is for the defendant, right? You are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Who's the judge? Get on your side of the bench, Your Honor. Seek the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. I'm done. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. I praise you, Lord God. Oh, Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your freedom, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for the word that you brought forth. Lord, you have made us citizens of the kingdom. You have put your spirit within us. You have written your laws upon our heart. And you have bestowed upon us the grace whereby we are able to perform what we've heard. I give you praise for going with us in all ways, never leaving us, never forsaking us, walking with us day by day. I bless your people, Father, of whom you've made me the shepherd, under you. And I invoke your word that they may be kept, protected, that they abide under the shadow of your wings, and let your glory show upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
That concludes our message. This message is copyrighted by Faith Alive Ministries and may not be reproduced for commercial or resale purposes. Duplication by individuals for the purpose of sharing the gospel is permitted. However, this copyright notice must accompany all copies made. For additional information and teaching resources, please write to Faith Alive Ministries, P.O. Box 321, Pryor, Oklahoma, 74362. Or you may visit our website at www.faithalivefellowship.net. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.